Thank you for joining us today for a message from the Word of God. What follows is a recording from one of our live services at Gooch Lane Church of Christ in Huntsville, Alabama. If you're ever in the area, we'd love to have you join us in person. And if you like what you hear today, you can visit us online at teachingtruth.org, where we have videos, weekly articles on biblical topics, information about our services, and more.
Good evening, everyone. If you would, grab a Bible and let's turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. We'll begin in that place in just a moment. John chapter 10. It is wonderful to be with you again tonight, and I want to express my appreciation for your decision to, of all the things you could be doing on a Monday night and all the things that call your name, you've chosen to be here. We have visitors among us, and I want to especially welcome you and thank you for making the decision of all the things you could be doing to be here and to open God's Word and to think about spiritual things for a few minutes tonight. My job is to make sure that what we're going to talk about comes from Scripture so that it is not just my opinions, it's not just things that I think are neat or cool, although I certainly do think they're neat and cool, but instead it is about us connecting with God through His Word. And so we are here in honor of Him, and we're here to grow toward Him. And I appreciate you being a part of that tonight. I want to begin by reading in John chapter 10. John 10 and verse 1, it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." So Jesus uses a word picture here to describe his relationship with his disciples. He is the shepherd, and we are the sheep. But one of the unique things about shepherding, especially in the ancient Middle East, and even today, if you were to study the way shepherding is done in that part of the world, is that shepherds often use their voice to control the sheep. Shepherds there are known for having a unique voice cadence that their sheep will recognize. And even if there is a mass of sheep that belong to different people, when the one shepherd calls his sheep, they follow him. And so Jesus uses that picture to describe how we as his sheep respond to his voice. Listen in verse 3. In verse 3, he says, "The sheep hear his voice." In verse 4, "The sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Verse 5, "A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Voices, voices, voices. Have you noticed how many people in our time are talking? Turn on your television and you hear people talking. Grab your phone and you hear people talking. They're on podcasts, they're on YouTube, they're on TikTok. What is the most surprising and shocking thing they can say? What is the most interesting and wisdom-dispensing thing they can say? They want you to listen to them. This is what our world revolves around. Political parties and political candidates want you to hear them. Scientists and experts want you to listen to them. And on we go. Voices all around us. And then when we silence all of those voices, we still have the voices of our own families and the voices that are in our own heads that speak to us about our own thinking and our own ways. And that matters because who we listen to determines who we become. We are the product of our thinking. We see this regularly when we see someone becoming radicalized by something they see online, a rabbit hole they go down. Maybe that's radicalized in the sense that they become a terrorist because they obsess about one angle of something that they see as wrong in the world. Or maybe it's just that they become radicalized and obsess about running. And they talk about running all the time. But they are a product of what they're listening to, and it inevitably shapes them. All of us are this way. And so what I want to talk about tonight is the fact that disciples of Jesus do things differently. And when we talk about voices, that's going to be important for us to consider. So I mentioned yesterday that in our lessons on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, we want to talk about how disciples are different. I want to remind you that Jesus calls us to be light to the world and salt of the earth. That Jesus says to his disciples, you see what the Gentiles do, but it will not be so among you. You will be different. You will be my people. I have called you out of the world to be a unique people. And yet we often are confused by that. Just what does it mean to be different? Are we supposed to be different in the sense that we're just weird? And that everything we do is just in the interest of being as weird as possible? Are we the kind of people who are just reactionary? If the world does something, we're going to do the opposite, whatever it is, no matter how ridiculous it is. Is that what we do? How do we know what being different looks like? And so I want to tell you about three things that we're going to cover in the coming days. That disciples are different because they listen to a different voice, which is what we're going to talk about tonight. Tomorrow night, we're going to talk about how they live with a different passion. And then on Wednesday night, Lord willing, they love with a different goal. That we are different because of who we listen to, because of how we live, and because of how we love. And that Jesus sets the tone for those disciples. And I want us to focus tonight on this idea of listening to a different voice. But that does need some clarification, some explanation. And so I want to spend a moment thinking about listening to a different voice, because that is a term or a phrase that the Bible uses with a specific meaning that needs some clarification. So look at these passages. This is Genesis 3 and verse 17, where it says, to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and eaten of the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. You listened to the voice of your wife. When God says that, he does not mean you heard her words. She spoke words to you and you listened to them. It instead means you listened to them and then you agreed with them and accepted them and then you acted on them. And all of that is contained in the idea of listening to her voice. Or it says, Abram listened to the voice of Sarai about Hagar. That is, he didn't just hear her words, but he listened to them and submitted himself to them and agreed with them and then obeyed. He did what she wanted him to do. Or this is Exodus 18:24. So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. This is when Moses comes to his father-in-law. He sees that Moses is working all day long and he says, you need to do something different. This is not working. You need to divide the work among many people. And so Moses listened to his voice and he did all that he had said. That's the connection there. When he listens, he obeys. And then Jesus says in John 18:37, for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to or hears my voice. So we're going to hear lots of people. I mentioned all the voices that are competing for our attention. The question is, who will we listen to? And Jesus' disciples are different because we listen to the voice of Jesus above all others. So let's start with this. A disciple listens to Jesus and not to other people. Let's just start here. In John chapter 10, Jesus pits himself against others who were coming and wanting the allegiance of his sheep. Look down in John 10 and verse 8. John 10 and verse 8. He says, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Excuse me. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So he talks about other shepherds who tried to lead the sheep. I believe what he's referencing here are the religious leaders of his day. People who were trying to lead, and yet their motives are suspect. He calls them thieves and robbers. You see, part of that is the issue about what they're about. In verse 10, he says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. Steal and kill and destroy. They are in it for themselves. You think about those Pharisees that are around when Jesus comes, and their concern is about their power and their influence. So when Jesus comes, they see that as a threat to them, and they lash out against Jesus. But they're not interested in the people. They don't care how it affects people except how that affects them. They're in it for themselves to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, in our time, that may mean that people talk about you, but they're really interested in themselves. That, yes, they have their Twitter followings and their social media influences. And, yes, they have their political slogans that talk about you. But at the end of the day, who are they really looking out for? Who do they really care about? What is really their goal? It is to get money and to get power. It is not for your good. And that's what Jesus is talking about. They come to steal and kill and destroy. He likens it to a man who is hired to watch sheep, and then he sees the wolf coming. And when you see the wolf coming and you're just doing a job, you're going to run away and save your own skin. I'm not dying for somebody else's sheep. I'm not dying for my job. And yet the shepherd will stand and protect the sheep, one who loves the sheep and cares and lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus says, that's me. He says, you need to listen to me because I care about you and not other people. Other people are in it for themselves. I would break down the question like this. Why would we listen to and obey and follow people who we couldn't even or wouldn't even turn to in time of need? That when I'm in need of something, I'm not going to ask them. They don't know me. They don't care about me. They're not going to help me. Why would they then be the leading voices in my life? Jesus says, that's foolish. You need someone who will care about you the way I do. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15. So on the one hand, Jesus says, don't listen to other people who are really not in your best interest in what they're leading you to do. But there is also another aspect that Jesus says, warns us about following other people because of. And that is, not only do some people have bad motives, but some people don't know how to help you. They don't have the knowledge or the wisdom to actually guide you. Matthew 15 and verse 12. Matthew 15 and verse 12. It says, then the disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? This is another story we're not going to get into. Verse 13, he answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone, they are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. They are blind guides. I don't know if you've spent any time chewing on this image. If the blind lead the blind. The blind lead the blind, they're both in trouble. But what is particularly sad is to be a blind person who reaches out their hand to someone else to help them. And yet the person whose hand they take can't see any better than they can. And so you're both in trouble now. But it is even sadder, it seems to me, for the person who relies on someone else when they are blind themselves. So Jesus, by the way, his way of figuring out who's blind and who sees is by looking at the fruit of people's lives, which reveals that we're not really the ones who are fit to guide other people. But a disciple listens to Jesus, not to blind guides. I also believe this idea that we listen to Jesus and not to other people is the reason why he says at times that we love father and mother more than him, and we become unworthy of him. Or as he says in another place, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father or mother, sister or brother. And we kind of scratch our heads at that. But it's important that we think about this. Our families, they may care about us. And our families may actually have some wisdom to dispense to us. But even then, there is a risk of giving our ultimate allegiance to human beings, even if we love them, even if they care about us, even if they have wisdom to give, they're still just human beings, even if they have our same last name, that they still are only finite human beings. And Jesus warns us that's not where our allegiance should fall. So I want you to see that there is risk in trusting and listening to other people. And can I tell you, if we're going to be different from the world, We cannot just listen to the world. If we're listening to other human beings, guess what we will always end up being like? Other human beings. So if we're going to live above that, if we're going to be light to the world, we need a different source, a different voice. Second, and this gets a little more challenging, is that a disciple listens to Jesus, not to myself. Let's go to Luke chapter 9. Luke 9. I want to read here, Luke 9 and verse 23. This is just after Peter has confessed that Jesus is the Christ, and then that is met with the terrible news that Jesus says, I'm going to suffer and be killed. And then in Luke 9, 23, he turns to the disciples and says, it says, he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, I want you to notice that when he says, I'm going to go die, he then says, come after me. Come follow me. I'm going to lead you to your own death. You take up your cross and you follow me. But I want to focus our attention on those two words in the middle of verse 23 that are deny himself. If you want to be a disciple, deny yourself. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Have you noticed that our culture is telling us differently? Our culture does not tell us to deny ourselves. I'd like to take us on a brief excursion here and talk about Disney movies for just a moment. Hope you'll pardon this. I don't know how familiar you are with Disney movies. I know probably most of us are somewhat familiar. There's a Disney movie called The Little Mermaid, where a young mermaid wants to be a human, so she disobeys her dad, who's a bit of a doofus, and she goes to the sea witch to change her into a real human. And a whole lot of destruction ensues. Everyone nearly dies. Her father sacrifices himself for her. But don't worry, it all works out. And you can go online and buy a shirt that has the Little Mermaid on it and says, follow your heart. Moana is the story of a Pacific Islander girl who wants to explore the ocean instead of leading her people. And so she is actually told, and I want to quote this because I want you to hear what is said by her grandma. You may hear a voice inside. And if that voice starts to whisper to follow the farthest star, Moana, that voice inside is who you are. Moana, follow your heart. And so she does. I mean, she has to follow her heart, right? Otherwise, she's disobeying who she is. And so she follows her heart, and of course, there's a lot of danger that comes from that. But don't worry, everything works out. Frozen, the story of a princess with magical powers who finally decides to just let it go. You've heard that song. And she sings, there's no right, no wrong, no rules for me. I'm free. And of course, she almost destroys the kingdom. And everything kind of goes to pieces when she lets it go. But don't worry, it all works out in the end. Everything's fine. Follow your heart. Follow your dreams. Follow the voice inside. Don't listen to parents. Don't listen to society. Don't listen to wisdom. No, listen to yourself. You have the answers. You are the key. You know what is best for you. And Jesus says, deny yourself. The irony is that when we listen to our own hearts, and you know this just as well as I do, things don't go well. Think about when you have listened to your heart and done what you thought was best. Think about how when you have lived a life of sin, so much of that came from your heart. What you thought was good, what you thought would be a great idea. And yet, how did it end up? Where did it lead you? Is that a voice worth listening to? Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Don't lean on your understanding. Trust in God. And then there is this warning, which is so ominous that it is repeated twice in the Proverbs. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There is a way that seems right. There's a way that you think is good. There's a way that makes sense to you that comes from within. It's the voice inside, and its end is the way of death. The Bible says, don't trust your own judgment. It can be wrong. And we all know that. You know, even in the movies, it doesn't work out well. All of those movies I just talked about, there's disaster because they follow their heart. And yet the moral of the story is, follow your heart. This is deeply challenging. But Jesus' disciples refused to just act on their impulses and impressions. Just because I think it or want to do it doesn't mean I should. I must ask the question, is this right? Is this what Jesus would want? Is this good? Is this wise? And if the answer is no, then I don't even listen to myself. Deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. And a disciple listens to Jesus, not to my fear. I want you to go with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We're going to read beginning in verse 35. And I want you to hear how Jesus addresses the panic, the anxiety, the fear of the disciples in this scene, which is a life-threatening scene, a scary time. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. It says, on that day when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? So the disciples panic, and we understand their panic. They think they're about to die. And they rush to Jesus, and they sort of rebuke him. That's verse 38, don't you care that we're perishing? And yet Jesus calms the storm. And it seems to me that it's one of those moments where, you know, once the wind dies down and the storm is over, you ever have that feeling like everything's been loud and now it's quiet? Everything's been scary and now it's calm? And they begin to say, well, why were we so upset? And Jesus asks them, I want you to notice his question. Jesus asks them, it's verse 40, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? I thought you were believers, and yet you're panicking. This is a rebuke from Jesus because they are acting out of their fear. By the way, it's an interesting side note that in verse 41, then they are filled with great fear of him. But that's not something Jesus rebukes. I want to talk to you for a moment about fears because it is easy for us to become slaves to our fears, that we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and that concerns us because we can imagine all the things that could go wrong. And there are specific things that we're afraid of. There are things on a national scale that we're afraid of. There are things in our family that we're afraid of. There are things in our health that we're afraid of. There are things in our jobs that we're afraid of. There are so many things we're afraid of. And I understand that there are times when fear is appropriate, because it's going to prompt an action that will prevent some catastrophe. But what I want you to hear is that when we habitually focus on our fears, we begin to be formed by them. They begin to be voices in our heads that determine our behavior. And Jesus wants us to listen deeply, obediently, in faith, to God over our fears. Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? If disciples are going to be different, at least part of that will be because we trust God and we don't just worry about everything that might go wrong. God will be there to do what is good and right, no matter what I'm afraid might happen. That makes us different. You're probably aware of the fact that there is a marked increase in anxiety among Americans, particularly among our young people. And there are lots of discussions about why that's happening, and that's not really my topic tonight. But I just want to stress, the more we focus on our anxieties and listen to them, the more we are formed by them, they become a determining factor in our behavior. And that fear can include not just what might happen to us, but what other people might do to us or think about us. This is John chapter 12 and verse 42. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, that's Jesus, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. So they are afraid. They know the right thing to do, but they're afraid, what will people say about me? What will they do? How will this affect my relationships going forward? And their fear makes them not obey God, not confess that Jesus is Messiah, because they're scared of what it will mean. Disciples of Jesus cannot live this way. We do not love the glory of men more than the glory of God. We are different. Well, you might be wondering, okay, so we're supposed to listen to Jesus, not to other people, not to ourselves, not to our fear. But those are some pretty bold claims. Particularly, it's a bold claim for anyone to tell you, listen to me and no one else. I'm the only one you should listen to. If another human being said that, we would look at them in a strange way. It's also a big claim to say, listen to me and not even to your own judgment. I know better than you. And so I want to spend some time building what I'm going to call the case for listening to Jesus. Why it is that these claims are not so extreme, that these are not demands that don't have a context. I want you to think with me for a moment about why Jesus is the one who is the voice we should hear. The first is we listen to Jesus because of who he is. Who he is. Do you know when Jesus calls people to himself, he talks about who he is? And that's part of the draw, the appeal, that we will see his character and be so drawn to it that we say, yes, I want that one to be the one whose voice I hear, who teaches me, who guides me. This is Matthew 11 and verse 29. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. I am gentle and lowly. Jesus did not come to dominate or to control. He is gentle and lowly. He is humble. He is kind. Jesus is the one who emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant. He came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That is who he is. And that is part of his appeal. In other words, Jesus has never been about himself. Jesus didn't come to receive glory from people. He even says that specifically. Do you know Jesus taught his disciples a lot about money? And often he'll tell his disciples that they need to give to the poor. They need to lay up treasures in heaven, that they need to be rich toward God. And yet, Jesus never tells them, give your money to me. Which is interesting because Jesus doesn't have much. He probably could have used it. But that's not who he is. And I want you to contrast that with people that we know who call on us to give them our allegiance. That they are not selfless like Jesus. The disciples decide that he is the Messiah, and Jesus says, let's keep that quiet. Not time yet. Because Jesus is not just about getting a crowd and a following and having everyone love and be impressed by him. Part of who Jesus is that he interacts with people in such a unique way. I am especially drawn to this part of Jesus' character. I hope you are too. When you read it, Jesus always gets it right. He always gets the situation and the teaching pitch perfect. It's really amazing. For example, He always knows the right thing to say and do. Let him who is without sin cast the first stone, he says. Repeatedly, they try to trap him. You know, they bring him questions about taxes and things like that. And he always evades their trap. Sometimes they try to stone him or seize him, and he eludes them until the moment where he is ready to march himself directly into the lion's den and lay down so that they will destroy him. What that means is Jesus chooses his battles with wisdom. And that, my friends, is something every human being struggles to do. Don't you struggle to choose the right battles? Don't you struggle to know the best way to respond when people are not what they should be towards you? So here is Jesus, the perfect example in every situation. Jesus is not threatened by anyone. Oh, they threaten him, but he does not allow them to truly threaten him. He's never trying too hard. He's not focused on popularity. Do you hear it? Jesus is all the things we want to be, but we are not. That's who he is. There is a buzzword in our culture that sums up these traits. It is the word authenticity. I don't know if you've heard that word in this context, but what people say is, I want someone who is authentic. I'm drawn to someone who is authentic, and there's a contrast there to someone who is faking or hypocritical. But Jesus is completely authentic. He is precisely who he appears to be, and he makes no apologies for it ever. He says what's true, whether it upsets you or not, but he is also compassionate and kind. My question is, wouldn't you like someone like that speaking into your life? To tell you what you need to be and do, how you need to change, how you need to grow? Do you see, this is why we listen to Jesus. He has proven he knows how to live life the right way. And when we see that, we are drawn to that, and we begin to listen to his voice. Second, we listen to Jesus because of what he knows. Jesus says this way in Matthew 11, that section just before he says, come to me. Matthew 11 and verse 27, he says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. What are we learning, Jesus? Well, the things the Father gave me to reveal. That Jesus has knowledge from God. Only I know the Father. Do you know what a claim that is? That of all the Jews around him who knew Torah so well, Jesus says, I'm the only one who really knows the Father. And the only way you can know him is if I choose to reveal him to you. This is Jesus' claim. And yet, this claim to know this is coupled with the claim of who he is. He shows us that, yeah, he really does know how to live life. He really does know how to honor God. He really doesn't have respect of people. He just is who he claims he is. And so now we know he knows some things that we need to know. I don't know how much you've thought about this. It's one of those things that we kind of take for granted when we study Jesus' words. But Jesus speaks for God. I've learned, I've been married 20 years this year, and I've learned that while I know my wife pretty well, I've learned not to speak for her by some frustrating experiences. That I don't always know that I can make promises on her behalf, that I can tell what exactly she's thinking or wanting. Because even though I know her well, I don't speak for her that way. Do you know Jesus is not that way with the Father? So Jesus says things all the time that are promises he makes on the Father's behalf. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For whoever asks, receives. Whoever knocks, it will be open. Whoever seeks, finds. Over and over again, he says, God's going to do this. He says, this is how your Father wants you to pray. He says, when you pray and you do this in secret, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. How can he make promises for God and say, God's going to do this? He seems to know God in a unique way, just as he says, this has been revealed to me by my Father. He also knows how to live to please the Father. He knows how life should be lived. He knows when it's wrong and when it's right and how God feels about it. He knows what comes next. And then he says, come learn from me. So Jesus bemoans the blind leading the blind. And yet here you have the one person who actually sees, who can say, I know the path. I know where we need to go. Come, let me guide you. Don't you want someone who knows what he knows speaking into your life, guiding you, teaching you, forming you? And then there is how he treats you. He has already referenced that the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, that the hireling abandons the sheep and flees and saves his own skin. And then he says, but I do different. I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. Jesus is not seeking anything from you. He is not a person who needs something, who wants to use you, who needs you so that he can get something for himself. He is instead giving himself for you, suffering for you. He is a giver, not a taker. And brothers and sisters, who else can say that? Who can look at the cross and ever think that Jesus is selfish or self-focused? He is all about us. Think about how Jesus treats you. He is compassionate, but he also challenges us. He accepts us, but he insists on changing us. We listen to Jesus because he treats us like no one else. Don't you want someone who loves you like that, who would give themselves completely for you? Don't you want them speaking into your life, guiding you, telling you what to avoid and what to pursue, telling you when you've gotten yourself into trouble? So what will it look like when we listen to a different voice? I just want to give a sketch of how some of these things might play out. If we listen to a different voice, in a world of sexual saturation, listening to Jesus means that we are a people who pursue sexual purity, who do not look at a woman to lust after her, who control their own bodies in holiness and honor. And that will make us different. In a world of suspicion of strangers and foreigners, listening to Jesus will mean welcoming and showing mercy to the stranger. And that will make us different. In a world of money and status, listening to Jesus will mean we give without expecting in return, that we'll see the value in the poor, that we will lay up treasures in heaven and not on earth. And that will make us different. In a world that is anxious about every potential problem, listening to Jesus means we will seek the kingdom first, that we will trust God to provide daily bread, and that we know God will be there when whatever disaster might fall. That will make us different. In a world of fame and popularity, listening to Jesus means that we seek the lower place. It means that we honor God in small ways, like the woman with the two mites. And that will make us different. In a world that treats others only expecting what we can get out of them, listening to Jesus will mean that we do good with no hope of return, even when they treat us with evil. And that will make us different. It is a life of doing good deeds in secret. It is a life of freely forgiving. It is a life of becoming more humble and childlike. It is a life of facing down my anger and my past. And I become different because I am listening to a different voice. And so I am changed. So my question for you is, are you listening to Jesus? It will make you different. And we embrace that difference because Jesus calls us to it. But it is not a difference that comes from our own political opinions. It is not a difference that comes from our own opinions about how life should be lived or the decisions we should make. It is a difference that comes because we're following His voice. So are you listening to Jesus tonight? We're going to offer the invitation at this time. Because it may be that you're here tonight and you are reconsidering the way you've been living. And you know that Jesus is calling to you to be His disciple, to be a true follower of His. And if you have never begun that journey, we would love nothing more than to help you begin tonight by turning away from your sins and being baptized into Christ, beginning that journey, becoming a disciple. And Jesus begins to work on you and you follow His voice. You can leave this building tonight, not only right with God, but a new creature in Christ. And we would love to help you do that. Or it may be that you're just considering, I need to be more faithful to the commitment I have made, to listen to that voice, and to begin to actually follow what Jesus calls on me to do and to be. And so you want our help. You want us to pray with you about that and to encourage you about that. If you have any need of any of those varieties, we invite you to come to the front as we stand and sing to encourage.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you have questions about anything you heard today or anything Bible related, you can use the contact form on our website at teachingtruth.org to submit a question and someone will be in touch. There's also lots of other great Bible content on our site as well. The web address again is teachingtruth.org. Once again, thanks for listening, and we hope to see you in person soon.